Works.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Appreciate you joining me. We're doing something a little special this week. A little different, I guess, is a good way to put it. I want to talk with some of my colleagues, some of my better friends in the industry about, rather than talking about everything that's wrong, let's talk about what we can do to change things. Let's talk about what we can do to make a difference. And, you know, I'm starting out with a guy who has been a real inspiration to me over the years. A fellow radio colleague, you know, just a good person, Jay Taylor. Jay and his wife, Teresa, are good friends of Kathy's and mine. Jay actually, I guess I have to say, has inspired me in a lot of areas. He, you know, totally off the subject, but a direction that Jay put me in when we started doing radio together back in the early part of the century. Gee, that sounds like a long time ago, but I'm talking about back in 2000, 2001, Jay convinced me that personal debt was a bad thing. And guess what? Based on conversations or because of conversations that I had with Jay on this particular issue and that Kathy and I had with Jay and Teresa, Kathy and I are now out of debt. Life is becoming a lot better. Jay is also very in his community. He's a guy who makes a difference in his community through his church, does a lot of volunteer work there, as Kathy and I have done over the years. And, you know, we need more people like you, Mr. Taylor.
Well, I don't know about that, Al. I mean, I guess we, in our own small way, try to make the world a little better place. I honestly think one of the biggest things that we all can do is to try to ferret out the truth, to try to figure out what really is going on, because behind the scenes, I think what you see is not necessarily what you're getting in the mainstream media, and I think the work that you do, the work I try to do on my radio show and elsewhere, to try to sift through the falsehoods and get to the truth is another way that we can make this a little better world to live in. Because if we're operating under false assumptions and under falsehoods that are given to us, I believe, to a great extent by the mainstream, mm-hmm. maybe knowingly or unknowingly, but for their own vested interest, in the end, it doesn't necessarily serve us well. I mean, certainly the financial markets, which you're involved with and I'm involved with, we see Wall Street is quite interested in continuing to sell its product, whether you need it or not. I mean, it's akin, I think, many times, Al, to trying to sell refrigerators to Eskimos. You know, and that's what I think we've got is a lot of the mainstream media that is bought and paid for by the vested interest, by the ruling elite, by the status quo, that's not necessarily interested in the average Joe and what is in his best interest.
So what you're saying is that you think it's important, and I agree with you 100%. That's why I started doing what I'm doing in terms of radio 15, 20 years ago. But, you know, people need to be aware of, you know, the full picture, you know, and then what the heck, let them make up their own minds after that, whether they believe it or, you know, I mean, it's a free country, God gave us free will, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with you on that. There's no question mm-hmm. whatsoever about that. I think that we need to get the big picture and, you know, and then, as I said, make up our own minds. Look at the difference, for example, you're making in your, you know, in your religious community, in your church. I mean, you drive people to church who can't drive. You volunteer at the organization, etc. That's what more of us need to do, whether it's in a religious setting, whether it's in a social setting. You need to help other people, in my opinion. I mean, yeah. You're doing it, right?
Yeah, I think that's right, Al. And I think you start out with your own family. You know, I mean, the family structure, making sure that you're the people that are closest to you are taken care of. And if you don't have blood relatives around you, you've got other people around you that you can consider to be your family. And in fact, in a way can make a difference. You know, it's from the bottom up, I think. Instead of what we're looking to do, and this is part of socialism. I think this is an evil of socialism. It's not, you know, socialism for socialism, not voluntary mm-hmm. socialism. What you're talking about is really something that you know, the Christian Church has espoused, at least at least Jesus did in his, you know, when he was here with us in person in the flesh. He basically, you know, said, who is my brother, who is my sister? Well, it's the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to help those people. But what we're doing is we're looking to Caesar rather than to ourselves and to God for help. We're looking to Obama or Bush or whoever, and we don't want to take responsibility ourselves. We want the government to do it for us. And so we'll ship the old folks off to the old people's home. After all, I've been paying taxes for years and years for Social Security and this and that. So we don't want to take responsibility ourselves in small little ways to help each other out. And I think that it's a breakdown in our society, and God knows the government can't do it as efficiently. I mean, you got to have armies of bureaucrats that are sitting behind desks instead of being directly involved in helping each other. So it's not a good system that we have, and I think in a small way, I guess we can make a bigger difference than people might think. You know, it's not that it's going to go necessarily recognized by a lot of people, but it makes a difference nonetheless.
You know, it does make a difference. And a guy who you introduced me to, gosh, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, Congressman Ron Paul from Texas. Ron and I were talking, the congressman, I guess let's show him some respect here, Corlin. The congressman and I were talking one day, and we were talking about, this was prior to his, attempting to get the nomination to run for president of the United States as a Republican. But we were talking, and I said, Congressman, I said, you know, where a lot of people are going to disagree with you, and perhaps I do too, is that you're not a big proponent of welfare. And he said, no, not on the part of government, I'm not. And I said, you know, I think if you pulled the plug on welfare, you'd have rioting in the streets in the United States. And he just started laughing, and he said, you're not very bright, Corlin. You're not as bright as I thought you were. And I said, well, welcome to the real world. And he said, don't you have any faith in your fellow man? Don't you think social organizations and religious organizations would pick up the slack that the government really does? The government really shouldn't be a part of that. That should be people like you and I. And I kind of scratched my head and I said, Congressman, I'm really glad that Taylor introduced me to you, because you know what? That's an incredibly astute thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think what happens is we're human nature being what it is, we would like to have something for nothing. So we think the government can take our place instead of taking care of our own family and loved ones. So, and it cannot. It cannot do the job nearly as well. And then, of course, they take away our freedoms and our liberties in the process as well. So now what should be and what is are two different things, of course. And, but I do believe that government, more activity on the part of government, encourages people to be less concerned and caring about people around them.
I'll have to agree 100%. Now, Jay, you talk a lot about this, you know, about the full spectrum, I guess, or I should say, the big picture on your show, Turning Hard Times into Good Times, which airs on the
Voice America.
Uh-huh.
Voice America. It's the Voice America Business Channel.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right. Live Tuesdays at 12 o'clock.
Live Tuesdays at 3 o'clock Eastern Time to 5 o'clock Eastern
yeah,
Time.
Yeah, 12 o'clock West Coast time, which is where I'm in. But tell our listeners a little bit about that show and why they should listen to it. You got about a minute.
Yeah, sure. Well, the show is premised on the notion that we're not getting the full truth in the mainstream media, and that in order to protect yourself, in order to invest in a way that will be profitable, that will preserve your wealth, you need to dig underneath the surface to find the truth. So we've had a lot of very interesting people, starting with G. Edward Griffin. Ron Paul's been a guest a couple of times. We've had Daniel Estulin, who's a premier authority on the Bilderberg Organization. Adrian Salbucci, an economist from Argentina. Lots of people like that who have helped us understand who the powers behind the throne really are. Who's pulling the strings? Who makes Obama do what he does and renege on his campaign promises? You know, there's powers behind the throne. Then we also go to the more practical aspects of having some concrete investment ideas. We have a lot of interesting people on the show, like Mark Faber. Lots of people. Frank Holmes has been on with us. A lot of very practical advice that comes to us from James Turk and others to help people then apply the theory and what is really going on and find concrete ways
to beat it,
enhance their portfolios.
There you go. We'll listen to Jay's show, Turning Hard Times into Good Times. Continue to listen to this show because all we're trying to do is help everybody out. Big Al's going to be right back with Clyde Harrison. Stick around.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking really about social issues, but I wanted you guys out there to know, you know, where my colleagues and I are coming from when it comes to what really makes society a better place. You know, one of my favorite guys to talk about this with is Clyde Harrison. Clyde is known as his claim to fame, people think, is the fact that he was the co-founder of the Rogers Raw Material Fund. But you know what? That's not really Harrison's claim to fame. His claim to fame is he's just a really decent human being. What do we need to do, in your opinion, Clyde, to make society better than it is today?
Well, I'm sorry I have you fooled, Al, but I'll try and answer your question nevertheless. First of all, since you know her, I have to give 99% of the credit to my wife. She's an unbelievable example for helping other people. I don't know what percent, but I'm going to say 50 or higher, that she spends of her time through various church things helping. A couple of the things that she established, I won't tell you how she got drawn into them, but she started a group that now visits like, I think, 7 or 8 old folks' homes that are state homes in Illinois, which means they have almost no one left before you end up in a state home. And they go with them and spend a half a day with them and pray and sing and read the Bible and just visit these people. There's probably 50 people that got involved with my wife on this after she started it by herself. She also works in a church with what's called small groups.
Mm-hmm.
And small groups are groups of women in various neighborhoods that are relatively close to each other. And it's people that have come to the church and said, I've got some problems that I'd like to talk to some people about that, you know, are roughly my age and roughly my income, and, you know, and see how they're handling things right now. And she establishes those small groups as the ones get too big and breaks them off and starts new ones and finds new leaders and visits the groups, you know, week in and week out when they're having their meetings and visits in and tells them improvements that they could make. She's just a stellar example. One of the things that's really made me happy is I went to the church when this recession started, which in my opinion was quite a while ago. In the area that I'm in, there's a lot of executives that used to work for Motorola, which has been shrunken greatly in size through the stupidity of the son's chairman becoming chairman. Nevertheless, what my reasoning is for why it had to shrink, you had a bunch of people that were upper management, marketing, et cetera, that were laid off from a company that was paying them $150,000 to $250,000 a year. And all of a sudden, they're without work. And they thought they were going to be there till they retired. And I told the preacher, that by the time they come to him, they've exhausted a lot of other things, because this group of people thinks they can accomplish things on their own without help, and they usually have a lot of pride before they walk in hat in hand and say, I need some help. And what I used to do is have the church give those people to me, and I would have 4 or 5 breakfasts with them. And my project was to find out what they loved to do. And since I've been in the investment business for 43, 44 years, most of it in Chicago, I've got a rather interesting Rolodex. And what I would do is tell the people that I know in my Rolodex, this is what I found out about this man that he loves to do. And most of the people that I would call knew how I was doing this. And what I found in my career is people that are doing what they love never go to work, and they're hugely successful. I didn't ever ask a person for his resume. I didn't care what he made. I didn't ask any of the normal questions. But I've placed about 7 or 8 people. So that's a really proud moment for me, because it's something I'd never done before. And, you know, other than that, we work with the church, and I think the church... You know, I used to tell people years ago that the difference in government programs, if people come to a government program and they're not expected to change. They just go there and get something.
Mm-hmm.
And most church programs that I've ever seen is a person comes to the church and says, I need help. And part of the help is, we will help you, but you're going to have to change.
Yeah.
And if the person doesn't change in a certain period of time, they go, you're not doing your part.
Well, no, wait, let me just interrupt you. When you say you have to change, I don't believe, I mean, knowing you and Kim as well as I do, I don't think you're saying you have to change and believe specifically what we believe.
No. I'm talking about people who are ruining their lives by drinking too much, whose husband and wife who can't get together but used to love each other, and now they can't stand each other, and they're going broke because of it. I'm talking about those kind of problems. I'm not talking about bringing them into the church. The church, at least the church we work with, this is non-denominational. The church doesn't ask them to join the church. We do a whole bunch of food things and stuff just for the people in the area that need help. No, it's not for establishing that. It's the church says, here's... You're working with an advisor here that's worked with a lot of people. And let's use, you know, an alcoholic as an example because it's the one everybody knows. And, you know, the person who's not going to become an alcoholic, you don't hand them money and say, now don't become an alcoholic.
No.
That's my point.
Yeah.
The church says, okay, we'll help you. We'll bring food. We'll bring food to you. We'll help you get some clothes for your little kids that are in trouble and school supplies or whatever. And come clean your house. But after a couple of visits, they say, here's some of the changes that you need to make. Here's what you can do around your house to keep it clean. Here's what you need to do with your children. And if you're not willing to do that, if you're going to sit there and, you know, and have a beer, man or a woman, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and continue till you go to bed, we can't help you. Very few people can be helped by an outside person.
Yeah. Well, people have to come to the conclusion that they have to, in the context of what you're talking about, people have to come to the conclusion that, you know, that they do need some input from the outside, so to speak. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. Clyde, we got about a minute left here. Why do you think, let me back up. Do you think it's appropriate for government to take the action, or do you think it needs to be on the part of individuals?
Well, I'll answer that in a minute. To go to what you just said, I think until a person asks for help,
mm-hmm.
he's not ready for help.
Okay, I'm with you.
And you're probably wasting most of your time.
Okay.
It may work, but it's not going to be most of the time.
Okay.
From a government standpoint, I think if somebody's hurt in an accident, I think if somebody has, through no fault of their own, has no way to achieve normal success without
mm-hmm.
help,
mm-hmm.
then I believe society should help that person.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you a story I don't know if we have time for, but I'll try to tell it really quickly.
30 seconds.
When Lyndon Johnson made his speech, I happened to be in St. Louis with my father, that we're going to help people with a great society who are not responsible for their own failure, like kids who dropped out of school. And my father looked at me and said, this will never work. Those kids need to know they were responsible for their own failure. And I said, well, either that or Dad or everything you taught me is wrong.
Well, I agree 100%. People have to accept their own shortcomings, not look to government to help them out, but society, the Clyde Harrisons and the Al Corlins and the Jay Taylors, et cetera, of the world need to help. Thanks so much, Clyde.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight, that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Thousands of Americans are facing evacuation. If you or any of your loved ones might need to evacuate, you must do it yourselves. Please don't procrastinate until they do it for you. Remember the terrible conditions of those that didn't get out for Katrina. Go right now to efoodsdirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633 for information on the new evacuation pack. It contains 2 weeks of delicious, easy-to-fix food, along with the equipment to prepare it. It's packed in a rugged, heavy-duty tote for transport. Evacuations are looming with the storms and the Gulf oil catastrophe. No matter where you live, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and storms must be escaped. Don't be like a deer frozen in the headlights of oncoming disaster. At least prepare yourself with this 2-week evacuation pack from eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. We are devoting really virtually all of our show, with the exception of the final segment, to what my colleagues are doing to make their attempts, I guess is a better way to put it, their attempts to make our society a better place. You know, a lot of people are, as they say in the Bible, outside wailing and gnashing their teeth, and they're just not doing anything about making the United States a better place. Well, I want everyone out there to know that the folks involved with our radio program are doing everything they can to make a difference. They're not just sitting and complaining. They're actually putting their money and their efforts where their mouths are and doing something. And I got David Morgan with me right now. David is an old friend. David has got a great website called silverinvestor.com. David is a well-known lecturer. He's an author. You know, he's just a good person. And I guess the question I have is, Dave, you sitting outside and wailing, you're gnashing your teeth, buddy?
Somewhat, I think. But,
really?
Also taking positive action on, you know, what can be done as an individual. And, you know, I like to quote, and I forget who it is that made the quote, but, you know, one man armed with the truth is an army.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a great saying, and it makes some sense. But these days, it's one man armed with the truth, and the Internet is an army. And I think that's more viable today's age. But, you know, I like to reflect upon, you know, the theme that you're doing and go back to what we talked about before we started recording. That is, you know, my mission statement And it's a very simple mission statement. My mission statement is to teach and empower people to understand the benefits of an honest monetary system,
mm-hmm.
or you could say honest financial system.
Sure.
And that mission statement is, you know, my purpose in life. That's the way I see it. And it doesn't even have gold or silver in my mission statement. So I'd like to reflect upon that just, you know, for a second, and then continue with this. The next month's issue of the Morgan Report, I'm actually going to interview a gentleman, or at least this is the plan, that is on the side of the monetarist, meaning that you can have a sound financial system with paper money as long as the quantity is set and controlled. Now, that isn't exactly what I believe, but to be intellectually honest, it in theory would work. So I'm looking at it from that perspective that, you know, I'm going to definitely interview this person and let him speak his mind. And because I've been getting a lot of input over the last couple of years with Ellen Brown's book, Web of Debt, where she claims that, you know, if instead of a private banking consortium, the Federal Reserve was printing the money, if the U.S. Treasury was printing it directly, like Kennedy started to do and like Lincoln did, that, you know, things could be wonderful again. And I just think it's important for people to understand that side of the argument. After that is complete, then my plan, again, I want to be careful choosing my words because someone's going to say, well, listen to you on Corwin, and I subscribed and I didn't get that in the report because, you know, things are very dynamic, but this is the plan and I definitely plan to follow through. Anyway, would be more or less why those are great in theory, but a more practical approach is, you know, a precious metal standard of some type. In fact, history teaches very clearly that a gold-only standard is not the way to go. The way to go is a bimetallic standard or a trimetallic standard where the government does not mandate what the ratio of gold to silver is, but the free market determines what the gold-silver ratio is. But that's a lecture for another time. As far as, you know, how to approach this, Al, look, I was taught in eighth grade, and I've believed it ever since, that money is power. And if you have control of the money, you have the power.
Okay.
So if, you know, if you buy into that premise or that presupposition, then whoever's allowed to control the money, as, you know, Rothschild said, you know, I don't care who makes the laws as long as I control the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the essence of it. That's not the exact quote, but that's the essence of it.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. So we need to get the money back to the people or the control back to the people. And what happens at the end of the great inflations is it starts to leak out. And I can quote you that. It leaks out in, you know, the Liberty Dollar or whatever it was called that Bernard von Notthaus tried. And, you know, right now I think he's in jail.
Yeah.
And then there's the American currency standard or something that's, you know, a silver or gold swapping basis for barter. And basically it starts to take place. And it is taking place in a more visible manner, goldmoney.com. I mean, that's one that you can pay in gold. Two parties agree, and you can make payment in gold. So you start to see honest money come back into the system in various forms, various ways. Some are better than others, and it starts to take place. It's exactly what's happening now.
Dave, I want to interrupt you just for a second here, and I want to say what I think is the essence of what every – but well, it's not the essence of what every what all of our guests talked about today, but I think what we all believe is purely and simply what society has to do, okay, is society has to empower its people to take care of themselves. You know, Alex Diakowski is going to come out, you know, basically discuss this issue with me in the final segment of the program. But what he is saying, in essence, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but he is saying, you know what, you can't just give to a very large percentage of society and you know, you can't just give with nothing in return. And one of the problems with what our society has evolved into over these past, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years, whatever it's been, you know, longer than that actually, is we have evolved into a society where a meaningful portion of our society is simply not taking care of itself. And you know what the end result of that is, man? The end result of that is where we are today. Okay? Our governor, the governor of the state of Washington, came out yesterday on the record and said, we simply don't have the money to do a lot of things anymore, and we can't do it. Numerous programs in our state of Washington, David, are going to be cut, hospice being one of them. The hospice as it's supported by the state government, is going to be cut, along with a lot of other things. Now, why can't people in society take your theory, okay, not your theory, but your action, which is, I want to empower people so that they can make things better for themselves. How the heck did we ever get away from that?
Well, I got away from it during the Great Depression with Franklin Roosevelt, that instituted and legislated a bunch of social welfare programs and basically said the state has more power than the individual. And that was the basic shift in my view or my study that took place. And it let people off the hook because a lot of people were hurting then. And so instead of the churches and individuals
right.
taking care of each other, which was the way it was before, it became the state's duty to do so. It's like, well, I don't have to, you know, give since I'm paying, you know, this amount of tax or whatever, and the state's going to take care of it, then, you know, I'm off the hook. And that mentality has just really grown ever since then. So really, if we could go back to where individual rights, but with individual rights come individual responsibility.
Exactly. And
that's
right.
the nail on the head, because most people have, you know, generations now have grown up with the, you know, the system.
Yeah.
Believing that everything is the way it's supposed to be, and therefore meaning specifically that the government is going to take care of me.
Well,
if I mess up, etc. The reason, I said this in one of my first interviews, free enterprise, true free markets means the right to succeed or the right to fail. And
correct.
A free market system, as we've talked about on your show before, Al, the right to fail. Too big to fail, hogwash. If they fail, they fail. That's capitalism.
Exactly. You know, and what this whole thing boils down to is, this started a long time ago. As you said, along with Franklin, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, during the Depression. But you know what? You know who really brought it to light? Former President Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society. People aren't responsible. People, you know, the government has to take care of those folks who can't take care of themselves. Well, you know what? Let's talk about something that is perhaps the biggest mistake ever made by a U.S. president, and that was, in my opinion, the Great Society. People need to be empowered to take care of themselves. There is absolutely no question whatsoever about that. Hey, stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatec, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is George Whitehurst Berry. As an avid outdoorsman doing professional photography of some of the most remote regions of the American Southwest, I swear by the Gusset Clothing Company. Diamond Gusset jeans are the jeans I've been looking for years. The unique gusset design, a technological breakthrough, was inspired by the needs of martial arts masters for more freedom of movement in their workouts. Diamond Gusset jeans are the most rugged, durable, flexible, and comfortable on planet Earth. Timeless style and good looks with rugged, superior quality made in USA cotton, superior weaving techniques, more stitches per inch, and higher quality standards go into every jean the Gusset Clothing Company makes before they proudly put on the label Made in USA. Buy American at GussetClothing.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T clothing.com. When you buy Gusset Clothing, put the word CRASH in the coupon code to receive free shipping.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. 0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio
for over 10 years.
GCN. Great talk radio
starts here.
Okay, welcome back. Big Al's here to wrap up the first hour of the Corlin Economics Report heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. Isn't it interesting to hear what colleagues of mine, people who you know really pretty well as listeners, what they have to say about making our society a better place? We're devoting our whole show to that today. And, you know, the guy who got me started along these lines, that's the wrong way to put it, but the fellow who I would have to say really, really began to drive this topic home, emphasize this topic to me, is Peter Grandage. Peter lives back in the New Jersey area. He's very active in various philanthropical organizations. He does a radio show on a Christian radio network back there. He works in ministry with professional athletes, very active in an organization called the Feel Good Foundation, which is an organization that basically is trying to right a wrong that this particular foundation feels did to the first responders for 9/11. You know, just a guy who is very, very active in his community, as I like to think that I am. Pete, how'd you get involved in this philosophical bent, for lack of better terms?
We're all sinners, and only through the grace of God do we even get our next breath. But having said that, my father, who never really had really any money to speak of, was a very generous man. In fact, my mother used to get mad because he'd stop and help people and do things. So from a young age, I inherited from my dad a sense of generosity.
Sure.
And even when the blessings of so-called wealth came along, although at one time, you know, I was a materialist person. I consider myself a recovering materialist, because there was a point in time not that far long ago when my God was money and trying to do the best for me, even if it meant not only so much stepping over somebody, but maybe disregarding somebody. So,
sure.
It is something, but, you know, the theme about what you're driving at really is going to require us to return to a way that our parents and grandparents lived, not only material-wise, but also through our fellow neighbors. I mean, we've, you know, there were very few fences around living quarters 50 years ago. And if you look just about in everybody in any development neighborhood, just about half the neighbors have fences.
Yeah.
And that's part of the way society has come, and we are going to have to return back to a sense of, you know, being willing to sit on the porch and not hide in the back if we're going to be willing to really want to turn things around here in the States.
I would agree 100%. You know, Jay brought up an interesting, a mutual friend of ours, Jay Taylor, brought up an interesting thing. He opened the show with me, and he brought up the fact that not only do people have to learn to, not learn, but get back to helping other people, looking out for other people, you know. But they also have to be aware of the reality of a situation. And of course, Jay being what he is, you know, he said, you know, you have to understand that our society really isn't going that way right now, perhaps as much as it should, because the government is coming in and really trying to take that responsibility. Well, I got to tell you, I agree with Jay wholeheartedly. It's not the government's responsibility to make things necessarily, it's not the government's responsibility to make us feel like we have to do something to help our fellow man. It's our responsibility. We simply have to do that. You know, Pete, what are some of the things that you do?
Well, you know, it's an interesting point you make. A lot of people still don't like to talk about our previous president, but one thing that President Bush really was striving to do, particularly in his second term, was to remove government from a lot of areas and return the rightful place to charities, civic organizations, and all to help people. And, of course, a lot of that has been taken away in the new presidency. I think what one of the first things we have to realize is that look what we just talked about. You talked about the 9/11 first responders. Here are people that went to help their fellow man, and 9 years later, they're still basically suffering from going to help. We hear now of people going to help somebody. We had an incident here in New Jersey. There was a car crash. The car was on fire. A person came along, pulled the person out of the car, subsequently didn't realize it, but the person got a little bit paralyzed because of the back problem, and now that person's being sued. So part of the problem with the change in society is people become afraid in some ways to help others because they're afraid of the ramifications. But we need to overcome that, and we need to also recognize the values that we used to have in this country about our neighbors. We in many ways, like I said, we put fences. We even children today don't intertwine the way they do. When we were kids out, we all went out in the street. We hung together. We socialized. Now they're all sitting at home texting themselves or on the computer. And even in that regard, the socialization of this country has changed dramatically in this generation.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I think you're 100% right. You know, my opinion about government is I really wonder what the governmental motives are in terms of always, you know, some of the stances that they take that on the surface, for example, would appear to be, you know, for the good of mankind. I mean, let's take as an example the concept of what's a good example here? Welfare. You know, welfare, I think, is a huge, huge disincentive, as does Congressman Ron Paul. He feels the same way. And he feels that the role of government shouldn't be necessarily to dole out money, but that should be the role of religious organizations, social organizations, and the role of government, perhaps, should be to help people acquire skills where they can help themselves. But that's not what's going on right now. I don't know what the percentage of people in the United States who are living on welfare is, Pete, but I'll bet you, you know, it's probably way above 25%. And what incentive do they have to make the world a better place?
Well, you know, part of what you're discussing is an argument that's been around for a while about governments really are helping in order for people to feel that they can't live without that government, and therefore people in government remain entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the quickest ways to solve that, although most politicians won't want to do this or hear that, and that is have term limits. So where becoming a politician doesn't become a career. You know, the forefathers really set it up to where the representation was going to be a one person but representing the community, but wasn't going to be there to think on their own but just speak for their particular district and all. And that's changed. It's changed, you know, in the last 100 or so years. One of the quickest ways we can remove this is to limit term policies to both Congress and all. Charles Rangel now, you know, 40 years as a congressman, you know, enough is enough. I mean, and what do the people in the district really have to show for it? And that's a pet peeve of mine, but and it's just one example. But I think one of the things we need to do is not make government a career. Now, the other thing we're also seeing, and it's a little bit different subject, but we're seeing people become so entrenched in government that government is ballooning in terms of employment and costs, while the private sector is going the opposite way.
Right.
And that's another problem that we've had. And therefore, so, you know, returning to basics isn't going to happen overnight, Al. It's really going to change your mind. But I've said this to you before in other interviews. Until we're willing to have less and believe that we don't need more and more money to be more and more happy, we really can't change things, and that's been the problem, Lester. The difference between my grandparents and myself and my children is we believe more stuff equals more happiness, and that's being shown to be absolutely wrong.
I would agree 100% on that. You know, that, and that's something that, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that's something that I've talked about numerous times. This is something that started back in the 60s. You know, the feel-good, me-too, free-love generation. You know, we're entitled to this, we're entitled to that. Let's not worry about anybody else. Let's not worry about really necessarily anybody else's feelings, and let's do what feels good, you know. And I have to tell you, that's where this whole thing started, in my opinion. But, you know, Pete, on a positive note, I'm kind of seeing the pendulum swing back the other way. I'm starting to see more and more people, like my colleagues, like yourself, like Jay, like Roger Wiegand, Clyde Harrison, all of these guys. These are people who are rolling up their sleeves and, like you, are really, really trying to make a difference. And I think that as that becomes more prevalent in society, and I believe that it will, I think that America is going to become a better place.
Well, I like to believe that, and I certainly know in my faith I like to believe that, but I still see a strong, strong tilt against that me, myself, and I society. It's still a very, very tough battle to get people past that. But, you know, with prayer and God, all things are possible. So, you know, I'll give the benefit of the doubt and say I hope you're right.
With prayer and God, all things are possible. There's absolutely no question on that, whether you believe it from a Christian standpoint, a Jewish standpoint, whatever standpoint you believe it from. Remember, that's the case. And remember, we all are in this thing together. We all got to work together. Big Al's going to be back at the top of the hour to chat with Roger Wiegand on this same subject. Pete, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Al.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.